Inspiring stories to ignite the next generation.
From the Perse School, Cambridge.
Neil, welcome to our Diary of a Future CEO podcast, our inspiring series that's really celebrating future leaders. Now, you're a third-year student at the University of Cambridge, intercalating medicine and engineering. It's a really interesting combination because it's combining your passion for medicine with your knowledge and skills in mathematics and data science. Before we come on to talk about some of your research that you've done recently, both at Cambridge and at Harvard, I'd really like to find out what it's like being a student at Cambridge.
I think being at Cambridge has a lot of like stereotypes associated with it. And I'd say some of them are probably true, but it's like any other university. We still go to the pubs, we still go to nightclubs. But yeah, there's a mix of tradition, and obviously we have formal dinners, which you can go to occasionally. We have like the gowns that people wear, and there's a lot of that tradition behind it. But then, you know, all the students are just like any other students across the UK. We still socialise, we still have like academic classes, and it's very similar. I mean, one of the things that is different is that we're sort of split into different colleges, and your college often becomes like part of your identity, part of who you are, because that's where you're spending most of your time, that's where you're living, that's where often, like, that's where I have my closest friends. So I'm at Emmanuel College, which I really love. It's got a great community. It's really friendly, really vibrant, and they provide so much as well in terms of the opportunities I've been able to do, as well as sort of financial support and, yeah, just being there for me.
Is it as you expect it to be?
I think there's less tradition than I thought. But there's also a lot of random things that come up that you don't expect. So I was fortunate enough to attend a talk by the CEO of NHS England just a couple of weeks ago, and that's something that you probably wouldn't get at any other university. It's just something randomly that happens at Cambridge, and there's a lot of different things that happen, but there's a lot of things that are exactly the same and things that I expected. You know, you make friends very quickly, you play board games in the evenings, you go to nightclubs, like, it's very similar.
Can you tell me a bit about where your interest in reading medicine began?
In Cambridge, they run a science festival, and I used to go with my parents and my brother, and me and my brother would always try and convince our parents to go to the chemistry department, not necessarily because we were interested in chemistry, but because they made liquid nitrogen ice cream, and we just loved going there and tasting the ice cream. So that, I think that's where my passion for science came from. And then just over the years, especially during school, I've just gravitated more towards medicine. I'm sort of doing work experience at Adam Brooks and at the Arthur Rank Hospice Charity. I've just seen how much of an impact that doctors have on their patients and sort of how fulfilling that can be. And that's something I wanted to bring into my career.
Would you recommend to other young people that are thinking about similar careers to also get work experience and voluntary experience?
Medicine is such a long career. So you're in medical school for 5 to 6 years, and then you have another sort of 5 to 10 years at least of specialty training and in-hospital training before you're at the sort of top level of doctor. And it's also very stressful. You know, you're helping patients in the most stressful and most, yeah, just the most stressful parts of their lives. And if you're not ready for that, then it can be very draining on you. So I think getting that early exposure to see, do I want to work in a hospital? Do I want to be helping people when they're in so much pain and they need you the most? I think you have to know that before you get into medical school.
But you're quite interesting because of your skills and interests and specialist knowledge of mathematics, of data science, and how you're combining them both.
I think that's one of the nice things about medicine is that it's, you know, it's patients first, you're treating people, but then there's a lot of other multidisciplinary aspects to it. So obviously you've got medical devices, so there's the whole engineering and physics aspects. You also have data science, so where you're looking at real-world data from patients and trying to extrapolate that to create, you know, new scientific methods or things like that. And also the social aspect in terms of psychology, behavioral science. There's just so much, there's so many different aspects to medicine. And I think that's one of the other things that drew me to medicine is that, yes, you can have your primary career as a doctor, as a medical provider, but you also have those other aspects that you can bring in depending on what your interests are. One of the reasons I chose to apply to Cambridge is because in the third year, you're allowed to change subject, essentially. and intercalate into another subject, into another domain.
You talked a little bit about other things that you're able to do, and last summer you went to Harvard and took part in a research project there. Tell me more about that.
I was working in the Department of Biomedical Informatics, which is in Harvard Medical School, and the lab in particular looks at how can we use artificial intelligence to reduce racial inequalities in healthcare. So they do a few different projects, one of which is sort of looking at skin cancers, and there's a lot of AI tools that can sort of try and diagnose skin cancers from pictures, so you sort of don't need a dermatologist to do it. But what they found is that often these models are trained on data sets that are predominantly white population, and so they don't work as well on Indian people, on Asian people, on African Americans. So what they're looking at is how can we sort of produce different images and then use those images from different populations to make these models even better. And then they also do similar things in lung function testing and then in kidney function testing, which is what I was primarily involved in. There's a few different ways you can measure kidney function. So what's typically done is that you take a blood test and then you measure these different chemicals in the blood. So this can be things like creatinine levels and cystatin C levels. And there are a lot of different formulas that you sort of use these data points and then you extract, because the serum creatinine is this and all these other factors are this, the age is this, the sex is this, the race is this, therefore the kidney function is, you know, a final value. And then you can use that number to provide care. But one of the problems with this equation, in the past at least, is that it used race as part of this. And this was due to sort of stereotypes that just aren't true in reality. And so this lab, in conjunction with a lot of other labs, was looking at how can we remove race from this equation and actually get much better care, especially in non-white populations. And so that's what we were doing. So we were looking at, can we, instead of using this equation, which essentially uses age, sex, race, and serum creatinine concentration, can we get rid of the race factor? And can we instead use, you know, sodium, potassium, cystatin C, and all of these other biomarkers and things in the blood to get a much better race-free estimation of kidney function.
Do you think that the research that you've done will improve healthcare for lots of different populations now?
We're still working on it, but for sure, I hope that in the future we're going to get much better at this.
Now, you were telling me that this additional research that you're doing isn't even part of your Cambridge degree. It's actually something you've chosen to do beyond the realms of your curriculum.
So I was fortunate enough to get a fellowship to go to Harvard over the summer. And that meant I was part of a program there. So I joined sort of 200, 300 Harvard students, as well as a few students from Cambridge. And we lived with them, sort of we had socials with them, which was an amazing experience. And then we also did research. So we were essentially full-time researchers for 2 months in the Harvard labs.
I really loved that. You didn't just think, right, I've got a summer to actually rest now after a very intense Cambridge degree. You actually thought, right, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference and expand my knowledge of research?
I like having something to do over the summer, so I always end up doing something.
You've been involved in quite a few sort of leadership roles with your college. Tell me more about that.
I'm the president of the Emmanuel Medical and Veterinary Society, which is the Medicals and Veterinary Society in my college. And as part of that role, I sort of lead the sort of extracurricular medical activities that happen. So that includes an annual dinner that we do, as well as welfare and social events. But also this year, we've tried to launch a new lecture series, which looks at the interface between medicine and a lot of different disciplines. The aim is to sort of inspire medical students to see how far-ranging their career can be and how else they can get involved. So we did one talk with the chief medical officer of a surgical robots company, which was really interesting to just see the overlap between medicine and engineering. So we also did one in AI and how AI can be used to see brain tumours and sort of distinguish brain tumours from healthy tissue. And that was in collaboration with Microsoft and the University of Cambridge. And then we also did one in the pharmaceutical industry, specifically with the Deputy General Counsel of the Competitions and Markets Authority. And that was looking at how the government is involved in regulating pharmaceutical pricing and sort of protecting patients from predatory pricing.
How will this role help you in your career as you move forward?
I mean, I've just really enjoyed it. I think it's definitely helped me meet a lot of medics and people from my college and other colleges that I might not have met otherwise. And I've just also enjoyed the sort of leadership responsibility and making mistakes, but learning how to manage a team and work together towards a common goal.
You talked earlier about AI and its role, and you were involved in a research project that used AI to create avatars to help train doctors. How did that go?
In the last couple of years, there's been a huge explosion in generative AI and artificial intelligence. And so we're looking at how can we use this to sort of help medicine. And one of the things that's become so big at the moment is these non-coding platforms that allow people without any coding background to generate virtual avatars. And that's often used in the gaming industry. But we thought, how can we use this in medicine? And so we did a pilot study in anesthesia and whether we can make these virtual patients that will ask, and anaesthetists will ask doctors questions, and then the doctor has to answer them. So this is really good, or our hope is this is really good for doctors when they're training. Can they answer patient questions? Do they fully understand the consenting procedure for surgery? And so we generated these patients. And the really cool thing is that you don't need any coding expertise. So the broad idea is, can we create a platform or a system that doctors can use to make patient avatars for their own clinicians, for the people who work, you know, are training with them, specific for that patient population? So say you're a cardiologist and you know these are the questions or these are the patients that's really hard for cardiology trainees to sort of understand. I can make a virtual avatar that will help the trainees. And so that's what we did.
So Neil, in what way will your degree change when you go into year four?
The way the medical degree at Cambridge is structured is it's 3 years of preclinical training and then 3 years of clinical training. So I'm just finishing year three. So that means I've done 2 years of basic medical sciences and sort of the mechanisms behind disease and biology, chemistry. And then I've done a year now of engineering. And then from fourth year onwards, I'll essentially be in the hospital for most of the time. So that's a mix of on-placement training. So we're in the wards, seeing real patients, learning from doctors about different conditions. The other thing that changes is that we're not always in Cambridge. So about 50% of our time will be spent in different regional hospitals across Cambridgeshire and sort of East Anglia, which I think is really useful because obviously as a doctor, I'm not going to be working in Cambridge Hospital my life. So it's really good to sort of see how different hospitals operate and just learn from other people.
What are you most looking forward to about that then?
The first 3 years are very much science heavy. You know, and we see a few patients and we learn, obviously we learn diseases, but not as much. But I think just being able to see the patients and just remember that that's why I'm in medicine, that's what I came here to do. And just having that impact and seeing how all the science I've learned sort of comes into play in a real life setting.
How do you cope with the stress of such an intense course?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to have other interests and other things you're doing outside of your course. And because medicine is so stressful, life as a medic is stressful, being in university can also be stressful. So just having those other aspects to your life is really important. So for me personally, I really love music. So I play clarinet and I'm also a choral scholar at Emmanuel College, which means I sing twice a week in their services in the choir. And I also play badminton. And I think just having that sort of de-stressing aspects is really important and really, really nice to have. And it also helps you just meet other people.
You know that medicine is stressful. So why have you chosen a career that you know is going to be stressful, demanding, emotionally draining?
I think that stems from my work experience. I genuinely enjoyed being in a hospital, the sort of running around from the ward. And then just the fact that you're not in an office all the time. You've got a variety. So you're in an operating theatre, then you're in a ward, then you're in a clinic. And just that variety, I think I really enjoy. Also just the first-hand impact you can have. Like I recognise, you know, as a software engineer, maybe I could develop an app that could end up saving hundreds of lives. But I think the draw for medicine is that you're there in person and you can see that first-hand clinical aspect. But I also think I want to combine that with something else as well. As a software engineer, for example, like say I develop an app, but being able to apply that to my own patients and see this is what they actually need, and just having that connection with patients. Otherwise, I think there's just, I don't think I'd want to do a career where there's more of a disconnect between the impact I'm having and what I'm doing.
Has there been someone in your life that you've looked up to as a role model?
So my parents, absolutely. But also there's a doctor who works at my college and is our professor. And he's one of the kindest and just most generous people I've ever met. He always looks out for you. He'll take time out of his day to check how you're doing, check you're supported, and check your enjoying medicine.
How has your perception of medicine changed since you started your course?
I've realised how much more of an organisation the NHS is. So obviously I knew that there were obviously a multidisciplinary team behind each patient. So I knew that there were doctors who were specialised in different things, supported by and helped by nurses and therapists and a variety of healthcare professionals. But I think I've seen now how much organisational support there is behind that as well, in terms of management, in terms of other roles in the NHS. So I think that's something that's changed. I think I've also seen how medicine is not just medical sciences, but it's also law and engineering and computer science and how that all comes into it.
What advice would you give young people? Maybe they're doing their GCSEs at the moment, they're choosing their A-levels, they're thinking about a career in medicine. Are there any subjects that they definitely should or shouldn't think about?
The things that everyone often does is biology, chemistry and maths. But I think it's really important to do things that you're good at and things that you know you'll enjoy. So if you enjoy English, you should absolutely do it. Even if you want to do medicine, but say you don't enjoy biology, don't do biology A-level just because you want to be a doctor, because there's a chance you wouldn't even enjoy the medical degree then.
What other advice would you give to young people who are listening or watching, thinking about a career in medicine? What should they consider?
So I think you have to get the work experience. Obviously, it's a requirement, but the reason it's a requirement is because medicine is a hard career. And before you get involved into a 5 or 6 year degree, it's really important that you know that, yes, I want to do it and I want to be a doctor at the end of it. Just having that interaction with people and learning how to talk to random people and random strangers is really important.
I just want to ask you how you manage to fit everything into your day, because you're a core scholar, you're doing the Cambridge degree and all this additional research as well. Where do you find the time?
I think one thing I do is I always give myself deadlines, even if they're like not real deadlines, they're just things I set myself. But I know I need to finish this piece of work by tonight or by tomorrow, so that it doesn't sort of take too long and just procrastinate.
We always end our podcasts with asking our guests for some words of wisdom or advice that maybe they live by or that they can pass on to others. What would yours be?
So something one of my professors said to me is just make sure you know why you're doing what you're doing and what your motivation is. So it's particularly for medicine, knowing what the end goal is, the fact that you're going to be helping people, helping patients and be a doctor at the end. And so if that's truly something you want to do, then that would help you overcome any stresses that you have along the way, but also knowing when to seek support and when to get advice.
That's very good. Thank you very much.